الآخرين وأصحاب الشمال ما أصحاب الشمال في سموم وحميم وظل من يحموم لا بارد ولا كريم إنهم كانوا قبل ذلك مترفين وكانوا يصرون على الحنث العظيم وكانوا يقولون أئذا متنا وكنا ترابا وعظاما أئذا متنا وكنا ترابا وعظاما أئنا لمبعوثون أو آباؤنا الأولون قل إن الأولين والآخرين لمجموعون إلى ميقات يوم معلوم ثم إنكم أيها الضالون المكذبون لآكلون من شجر من زقوم فمالئون منها البطون فشاربون عليه من الحميم فشاربون شرب الهيم هذا نزلهم يوم الدين نحن خلقناكم فلولا تصدقون أفرأيتم ما تمنون أأنتم تخلقونه أم نحن الخالقون نحن قدرنا بينكم الموت وما نحن بمسبوقين على أن نبدل أمثالكم وننشئكم فيما لا تعلمون ولقد علمتم النشأة الأولى فلولا تذكرون أفرأيتم ما تحرثون أأنتم تزرعونه أم نحن الزارعون لو نشاء لجعلناه حطاما فظلتم تفكهون إنا لمغرمون بل نحن محرومون أفرأيتم الماء الذي تشربون أأنتم أنزلتموه من المزن أم نحن المنزلون لو نشاء جعلناه أجاجا فلولا تشكرون أفرأيتم النار التي تورون أأنتم أنشأتم شجرتها أم نحن المنشئون نحن جعلناها تذكرة ومتاعا للمقوين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم فلا أقسم بمواقع النجوم وإنه
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Dear Sheikh Osama, brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, we welcome you all to our program tonight commemorating the martyrdom of Imam Ali al-Hadi. Inshallah, if we could start off tonight's program with welcoming our brother Ali Hamdani with recitation from the Holy Quran. Please help me welcome him with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي هجر ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بعاد إرم ذات العماد التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد وثمود الذين جابوا الصخر بالواد وفرعون ذي الأوتاد الذين تغوا في البلاد فأكثروا فيها الفساد فصب عليهم ربك سوط عذاب إن ربك لبالمرصاد فأما الإنسان إذا ما ابتلاه ربه فأكرمه ونعمه فيقول ربي أكرمن وأما إذا ما ابتلاه فقدر عليه رزقه فيقول ربي أهانن كلا بل لا تكرمون اليتيم ولا تحاضون على طعام المسكين وتأكلون التراث أكلا لما وتحبون المال حبا جما كلا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا وجيء يومئذ بجهنم يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان وأنى له الذكرى يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي فيومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
Thank you, brother. Inshallah, another loud salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Inshallah, just a few announcements before we start. Inshallah, next Friday for our Friday programs, inshallah, we will be commemorating the wilada of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam and also the anniversary of the Islamic Revolution. That's on February 11th. Inshallah, this upcoming Wednesday and the Wednesday after that, we are also going to be having a program with Sayyid Ali Jafari, talking about like the spiritual season and how to prepare, inshallah. So we will be releasing a flyer through our LOG events chat and also through our various social media outlets. Salla ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Inshallah, if we could all just continue to adhere to the masking throughout the program. And inshallah, with that, if we could all help me welcome Sheikh Osama with three loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. So welcome back to our Good Life series. It seems like it's been a little while. Alhamdulillah, Allah gave us the tawfiq to gather once again and go over some reminders. There's actually three very important reminders that I'd like to say first for myself and then for all of you. The first is going to be, inshallah, about the month of Rajab. Rajab is a very special month. It's been called in our ahadith the month of God. So we need to talk a little bit about that month. So inshallah, we take advantage of this extremely wonderful opportunity. Second, inshallah, we'll talk a little bit about the sad demise of Ayatollah al-Uzma Safi Gulpaygani. He was one of our greats. It was a big loss for the Ummah. Inshallah, I'd like to talk a little bit about him. Of course, we can never do justice with that, but talk, inshallah, a little bit about him. And then finally, I'd like to talk about the Imam al-Hadi. The bulk of the talk, inshallah, will be about him. We're going to be mourning and we're commemorating the death of a champion. We need to know how he saved Islam and the Quran. We literally owe our lives to Imam Hadi. So we will spend, inshallah, a little bit of time trying to get to know a little bit more about him, benefit from him, because I feel it's a shame, and I'm saying this about myself, that sometimes the connection that someone like me has with, for instance, Imam Hussein, or for instance, Amirul Mu'mineen, is different, if I'm honest with myself, than the connection that I feel with Imam al-Hadi. We might not feel, in our heart of hearts, we might not feel that same kind of connection. You and I, when we're going through difficulties, there are members of the Ahlul Bayt who immediately we call on, we go to help, but sometimes we might not avail ourselves of this Imam and his help. I really feel that, and I'm saying this for myself first, but for all of the Hadi family, both our staff, our teachers, the Hadi parents, the extended Hadi family, those who are online, and of course the general community at large, it will be a good idea for us to get to know this Imam a little bit better. Let's say we say, well, why don't we feel that same kind of emotional connection with Imam Hadi or some of the other lesser known Imams, the way that we do about Imam Hassan, Sayyidah Zahra? How can we fix that? Brothers and sisters, I would like to recommend that all of us read the fourth chapter of the Lives of the Twelve. It will be a good place for us to start. The Lives of the Twelve, if we can read the fourth chapter, it's only 30 pages about Imam Hadi. Only 30 pages. But perhaps if we read over this, then we'll get to know just what he did for a little. Again, this is like a peek into the window. This isn't everything. I'm talking about 30 pages. But perhaps to get to know what this Imam did for us, under what conditions he resisted and saved Islam. And what did he do for us? It's more than enough to kind of at least begin. And then after that, once we have that understanding, for us to be able to coherently explain and convey this reality of the Ahlul Bayt to others. So many mu'mineen in the Shia community, if you ask them to say a few words about Imam Hussein, maybe even Imam Zainullah, maybe they would have something to say. But how many of us would be able to say, to sit down and actually tell somebody, well, you know, we owe our lives to Imam Hadi. There's a lot he did for us. And then the person, well, what did he do? To be able to kind of enumerate, these are his contributions. This is what he did. This is who he's up against. So that would, inshallah, be something that we could do. But that's for another time, inshallah. Rajab. So brothers and sisters, this month, this opportunity, the tawfiq that Allah has given us to be able to be in this month and to still be alive is very special for those believers who are longing. They have a spiritual longing for a very special Shah Ramadan. There's some of the believers who really would like to connect with God on Laylatul Qadr. It's better than... So how do we get there? That begins with preparation. If we want those special favors from Allah, we have to take advantage of the month of Rajab, and then again, muraqabah, vigilance, for the month of Sha'ban, in preparation for the month of Allah. Not just to go into the month of Allah and then expect all those divine favors. Those favors are given out for those who do jihad with the nafs. Jihad with the nafs. We have a very beautiful hadith from Amirul Mu'mineen when he says this, innal jihad babun min abwabil jannah. Jihad is a door of the doors of paradise. فَتَحَهُ اللَّهُ لِخَاسَّةِ أَوْلِيَائِهِ. God opens this door for his special friends. So you and I, in our spiritual journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we want to be amongst those elite believers, we're going to talk a little bit about the Rajabiyun. We've heard that famous hadith, Aina Rajabiyun. Talk a little bit about that. What is it that God gives those people? But that's for people who do jihad. That doesn't just come easily. It's like the story that they tell. Inshallah, it's not true. They said once this lady, her neighbor was a very old man, but she could tell that this old man was happy and content. He was so happy, it was admirable. So one day she went over to the old man and she said that, what's your secret? How have you lived so long and been so healthy? What's your secret? He said, my secret? He said, I smoke cigarettes every day. I always eat fatty food. I never exercise. I always drink soda. She said, mashallah. And how old are you? He said, I'm 26. We can't expect to receive Allah's blessing. Then no jihad, no effort. Aina Rajabiyun. The hadith says this, إِذَا كَانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, Imam Sadiq speaking, on the day of judgment, a caller will call out from heaven. The caller will say, أَيْنَ Rajabiyun. Where are those people of Rajab? The hadith says a group of people will stand up. So imagine, on the day of judgment, everybody's standing and looking. One group of people will rise up. These people will have light emanating from their foreheads that beams onto the people on the plains of Qiyamah. Upon their heads will be crowns of majesty, adorned with pearls and sapphires. Each one of these individuals will be escorted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, moving towards paradise, but escorted. How? Each one of them, 1,000 of the malaika with them. The hadith goes on and on. It says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will address them directly. Only Allah knows, Ahlul Bayt know. What does that mean if God addresses someone directly? And then the conversation between Allah and those special servants, but inshallah, that's for another time. We want to see, well, what can we do? We want to be Rajabiyun. We want to experience Allah's favor. We want to have a great month of Ramadan. What are some, a few of the things that we can start doing? Some of the things that we hear, recommendations from our ulama, from our urafa, some of the things that we could do in order to take better advantage of this month. One of the things that we definitely want to do, brothers and sisters, is to, first of all, we say muraqabah, right? Vigilance, to avoid all of the muharramat. We don't want to have that leaky boat. All of the muharramat. So the muharramat of the eyes, the muharramat of the tongue, the muharramat of the limbs. We want to make sure that, inshallah, if we're able, none of those kind of sins are happening. In addition to that, number two, we want to make sure that our wajib duties are being done. Dhikr is of three types. There's dhikr of the lisan, dhikr of the tongue. But then more important than dhikr of the lisan is dhikrul qalb. That's a result of dhikr and amal. How do we do dhikr and amal? By avoiding, by seeing ourselves in the presence of God, by making sure that, practically speaking, we're remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that means knowing the wajibat and performing the wajibat. We want to definitely give priority to praying on time, ideally the first time. Ideally the first time. If we can, of course, it's great if we could pray in jama'ah, Qur'an. Even if it's just a little bit of Qur'an, even if it's a few verses of the Qur'an, but on a daily basis, we're connecting with God, reading his book, that would be great. There are some beautiful du'as, ad'iya, in Mafatih al-Janan for this month. Some of them very short. Ya man arju, some of them we probably have even memorized. But taking some of those du'as, the shorter of those du'as, reciting them, that would be another way to try and benefit. You know one thing, though, that they say about this month, if we really want to experience God's best, it's istighfar, asking Allah for forgiveness. This is the month for asking Allah for forgiveness. Istighfar during this month is one of those keys. And then finally, if we can, if Allah gives us the tawfiq, there are going to be some special, I'm going to mention one of those special days during this month for fasting. Let's say there's a believer, a mu'min or mu'mina, who has qadha fast, wajib fast, qadha fast. But I can perform a qadha fast on one of those special days and get the rewards of the special days. Let me give you an example. This is about Rajab. So let's say I'm a mu'min or mu'mina. I've got some qadha fast. I want to make them up. But let's say it's targeted so I get the most bang for the buck. Let's see. If we can fast for the last 3 days, one of the last days of the month of Rajab, when we leave this world, those horrors that people face as they leave this world, and then the adab of the qabr, if we can fast one of the days of Rajab, the last days of Rajab, then inshallah we won't face that, number one. Let's say Allah gave a little bit more tawfiq or we had more qadha to make up 2 days. Let's say we had 2 days. The hadith says that if you fast for 2 days, those last 2 days of Rajab, then we'll pass over the sirat easily. Other people are collapsing, other people are falling. We'll pass over the sirat easily. What about 3 days? If Allah gives us the tawfiq, the last 3 days of Rajab, then we're told that we won't face those horrors on Yawm al-Qiyamah. We'll also be given a guarantee of safety from hell, the fires of hell. So these days are, if I can only fast 1 day, let's say I can only fast 1 day, the 27th, brothers and sisters. If we can fast on the 27th, it's greater than fasting for 70 years. So if I can only fast 1 day, the 27th is a great day for us to fast. Of course, us remembering our spiritual side and using this brief opportunity that people call life to get closer to God spiritually does not make us forget our social and political responsibilities. You and I may have seen some of those images of our sisters in India who are now being prevented from entering the university wearing the hijab. We haven't forgotten any of the madlumin, the oppressed. We remember them, we stand with them. And at the same time, we advance spiritually by making sure that we can take advantage of the special blessings of the month. Salawat, please. Secondly, I'd like to mention a little bit about Grand Ayatollah Safi Golpaygani. I offer my condolences, first of all, to the Imam of the time, our esteemed Maraja, the leader, the Ummah, and especially you, Mu'mineen and Mu'minat, on the passing of this great man. He was one of our greats. The Ahadith of Ahlul Bayt tell us how to feel when someone of that spiritual stature passes. This is from Imam Sadiq. He says this, إِذَا مَاتَ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْفَقِيهِ. If a mu'min who is a faqih, if he departs this world, ثُلِمَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ ثُلْمَةٌ. Such an irreparable hole is ripped in the wall of Islam, لَا يَسُدُّهَا شَيْءٍ. It can never be fixed. It's an irreparable hole. The death of an individual like this. This man, brothers and sisters, was incredibly knowledgeable. Incredibly knowledgeable. But to be honest with you, it wasn't only his ilm that we celebrate him for. So it's not saying that he wasn't a prolific writer, because he was a prolific writer. Some of his books have even been translated in English. His books on the 12th Imam, how he helped revive Mahdawiya, right? So I'm not saying that, I'm saying he was more than just an academic and a top-tier scholar. This man was also an example for us when it comes to both ilm and amal. The humility of Ayatollah Al-Uzma Safi Golpaygani. The ikhlas of Ayatollah Safi Golpaygani. Again, this man, incredible to be around, put it in that way, in his personal life. But more than that, he's also someone who had great insight, wisdom, awareness of the situation. If you remember when you read the condolences of Imam Khamenei regarding this marja, he said, marja-e basir. A marja, he's made many things about him, but he said, a marja who had basira. I remember only two other individuals of hearing that, about that the leader said that about them, of those great greats. Remember, brothers and sisters, also, if a marja uses accolades, they don't throw them around lightly. For instance, many of you have seen that certain individuals who are themselves mujtahid, and we would refer to them as ayatollah, and rightfully so, the marja, unless they have an established bathul kharij, people are coming, the marja will still refer to them as hujjatul Islam wal muslimin. But the man's an ayatollah. For instance, President Raisi is Ayatollah Raisi. Right? How can you not be an ayatollah and then be in charge of the judiciary? He's ayatollah. So these titles that these maraja give, these aren't taken to be taken lightly. Marjai Basir. He was someone who stood with the revolution from the beginning. He was Amin for Imam Khomeini. Amin. Well, how did he stand? Was it just that he believed in the same things? No, when it came to writing the Iranian constitution, who helped write it? One of them, Ayatollah Al-Uzma Safi Golpaygani. When it came to practically being a pillar to show the legitimacy of the Islamic system, we have a very important council over there, which is called the Council of Guardians. Now, the Council of Guardians, their job, brothers and sisters, is to ensure that the laws that are passed by the parliament are in line with the Sharia and the Iranian constitution. Not only that, anybody who wants to be elected over there, there's a vetting process. Is this person even worthy of running? So he was a pillar over there as well. After that, did it stop? After the passing of Imam Khomeini, may Allah rest his soul, no. He would always stand with the leader, stand with the revolution, even at times when it was unpopular to carry the flag. It's not always popular. He was one of those people who would stand, who would get involved, who would do his responsibility. So even at times when it was difficult, you would see that he would stand and he would say and he would explain. At times where others, it was difficult to go over, very unpopular. But Ayatollah Safi Golpayani was a staunch defender of the revolution. Not only that, Ayatollah Safi Golpayani, if you looked at some of the more recent videos that have been released, he wasn't only thinking about the borders of Iran. There's videos where he is speaking to some of the leaders of the Iraqi resistance. And he's advising them, so up until now, still advising them, talking about unity, the importance of unity between Shia and Sunni. More than that, you see from this man, he died, he was 103, the love of Shahada. In the video, he's over there saying, I wish I could sacrifice myself. I could be there physically. This kind of an individual. I ask brothers and sisters to join me in reciting Surah Fatiha for his soul, preceded by Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Lastly, I'd like to talk a little bit about Imam al-Hadi. Now, brothers and sisters, his station with God, who he was, how God introduced him, and then what did he do for us, and what was he up against? I'll give you one story. I'll give you several stories, inshallah. One of them is about when he became the Imam, just so we can kind of get an idea, because again, we're talking about somebody who's higher than the greatest of the Anbiya. We can't even imagine what kind of spiritual station Nabi Ibrahim held, Nabi Nuh held. We can't even imagine someone who's higher than all of them. One example. When our Imam became the Imam, so remember, our Imam becomes the Imam when he's only eight years old. It's going to be for 33 years with blood, sweat, and tears that he keeps Islam alive. Under what circumstances? 8 years old. Even that's miraculous. The Imam at eight. They tell a story about when he became the Imam. A man named Rahil is telling this story. Rahil was sitting the Imam. The Imam's young. The Imam's eight. And suddenly, the Imam burst into tears. And he's really wailing. He's crying tears. The people ask, what's going on? What happened? Why these tears all of a sudden? The Imam can't even explain. Apparently, he's too overwhelmed with this. The Imam gets up. He leaves. He goes to his house. When he goes to his house, again, the tears, the crying, the people in the house, what happened? He said that my father, Imam Jawad, was martyred. How did you know? Imam Jawad's in Baghdad. Our Imam's in Medina. How would you know that he passed? Is it ilm al-ghayb? He said, it's the state of my heart. Suddenly, I felt a sense of Allah's greatness and majesty that I had never felt before. Talking about someone, already he was higher than the Anbiya. But he says, when the moment when I assumed the mantle of Imamah, I felt the grandness of God, His majesty, His jalal in such a way I'd never felt it before. Now, brothers and sisters, Allah had a unique way of introducing Him in His greatness. Again, so inshallah, we can benefit from Him, we can understand, we can have Him take our hand. In so many ways, obviously, He was introduced. I want to give one of the examples of how God introduced His status. Who was this man? Now, our Imam, brothers and sisters, because there's going to be one lesson that I want to get from the life of the Imam, I'll call it resilience and resistance. We're talking about an Imam who bested five of the tawaghit, not one, not two, five of the, finally the sixth martyred him, but someone who bested them. Under what conditions? Inshallah, we'll talk about it. How did Allah introduce him? To show just how special, how honored are you and I to be sitting in a gathering where his name is mentioned. You should know this, because it talks about our responsibility to the Imam. You couldn't do that in his life. Even to, there was so much surveillance, so much pressure on the Imam, when I talk about his contributions later, that the man says, I was walking in the streets. It seems like from this discussion, Medina. So this isn't even when he's officially under surveillance. In Medina, walking in the streets with the Imam, he says, I stopped to ask a question. When I stopped to ask the question, the Imam said, this is busy. Don't ask any questions right now. You couldn't even hold a conversation. How did God introduce this Imam? One time, in the times of one of the most terrible and disgusting and savage of the tawaghit, whose name was Mutawakkil, there was a woman who claimed to be Sayyida Zainab. 200 years later, however many years later, she said, I'm Sayyida Zainab. Making this claim, obviously the news is going around, Sayyida Zainab, she's here, she's alive, major distraction. Mutawakkil gathered the Hashemites, meaning he gathered the family of Imam Ali, but also the Abbasids, because remember, they're also Sadat. They're also Sadat. They're also from the lineage of Hashem. He gathered the older individuals, the respected individuals. This woman says she's Zainab. Is that true? And they said, no, it's not true. Zainab died at this time. Zainab, no, how? Even Mutawakkil asked her, he said, how can you be Zainab? You're so young. She said, oh, that's a secret. The Prophet ﷺ, he put his hand on my head, and then every 40 years, my youth is restored. But they said, no, that can't be true. No way she's Zainab. She said, they're lying. She said, people didn't know. The people didn't know. I've miraculously been given this by the Prophet. They say I passed away, but I didn't show myself until now. No other answer. They said, well, maybe if you speak to Imam Hadi, he'll have an answer. Because he swore, he said, I'm only going to let this go if there's concrete proof that she's not Zainab. They called Imam Hadi. When they called Imam Hadi, Imam Hadi said, she's lying. She's not Sayyida Zainab. Sayyida Zainab passed away, X, Y, Z. She's not Sayyida Zainab. He said, Mutawakkil. But the others said the same thing. She said, they don't know. They're not informed, I've been given miraculous youth. The Imam said, there's another way. You want concrete proof? He said, there's another way. He said that the children of Fatima, the true children of Fatima, if they're cast before wild animals, the animals won't eat them. If they're cast before wild animals, the animals won't eat them. She said, oh my God, no. He said, we can test it out. All of these Sadat are here from Bani Hashim, from the children of Imam Ali. They can go down. They had a pit with wild lions in it. Put them in it, and you'll see. Put her in it. So then they said that all the Sadat who were there, they got real nervous then. Go in the pit with the wild animals and prove. One of those clever evil guys said, why don't you ask Imam Hadi to go in? Mutawakkil says, that's a good idea. Two birds with one stone. Let him go in there with the wild animals. Imam Hadi said, if you want, I'll go. The Imam descended. He used the ladder, went down there. Wild lions in there. The lions came over to the Imam, put their head by the Imam stroking their head. The Imam gave an ishara, the lions went over into a corner. They're all watching them. Lions, if you keep them hungry, they're supposed to rip this person apart. He's here. Everybody's seeing a literal miracle. Starving lions. The Imam. One of them, the clever ones of the enemy, said, tell him to come back out. This is going to be bad. Once this news spread, the miracle, he's thrown in a pit of wild animals. The lions gathered again when the Imam wanted to leave, and then he came up. He said, okay. She can go. The woman immediately. So what happens is God used this unique way of introducing this Imam. Now, unfortunately, we've come to the end of our time. So I just, if you allow me, I want to give a few points of the contributions of this Imam. Because remember, six of the Tawarit, including Mutawakkil, who raised the grave of Imam Hussein. What did he do? How did the Imam fight back? Our Imam gave so many contributions in so many ways. I'll just try and list some of them. Later, inshallah, brothers and sisters can go and read about it and understand for themselves. In one way, when it comes to ilmul kalam, our theology, our beliefs, one of the jobs of the Imam is to defend the proper belief system so that we get Islam as is. Don't you know that some of the greatest works on knowing the status of the Imam are from Imam Hadi? Jami'a Kabira, Imam Hadi. The Ziyara of Amir al-Mu'mineen on Ghadir, Imam Hadi. If you look at that, if you really want to know who are we talking about when we're talking about an Imam, what station do they have between them and Allah? The government of the time, and there were different tawaghits and different strategies employed by different tawaghit. That was also something that made it difficult because you got to remember, with each tawghut, the strategy differs. So in a 50, just so you can kind of appreciate how difficult his circumstances were. In a 50-year span, our Imam only lived till he's 42. In a 50-year span, there were 18 armed uprisings. So talk about social upheaval. Our Imam is brought from Medina, where they had spies on him. I mentioned that story of that one man, spies, espionage, watching the Imam from the time he was young in his house. They said, that's not enough. We have to bring the Imam over to Samarra. And in Samarra, now the Imam is directly under the eyes of the surveillance apparatus. The cooks, everybody, the people working in the house, they're all spies. And what is the Imam doing under this kind of a situation to preserve Islam? And also the expanse of Islam at that time. So now, they bring the Imam in this kind of a circumstance. He's under this much surveillance. What's the Imam doing? So there's several important ideological issues that the government, the same way that Tawaghit now, will use a non-issue, an unimportant issue, to divide the community, to have people spinning in circles. I mean, right now, we're all seeing with the coronavirus. The coronavirus. How much has this been politically manipulated? How long will people still be spinning with this? I mean, we're all seeing. Right? What would they do back in those times? In those times, what they would do is they would come up with an ideological issue. I'll just mention a few of them, just so you understand a little bit about what his contributions were in that area, other than his social and political responsibilities. So the issue of Jabr and Tafwiz, free will and predestiny. They would use that as an issue literally to the issue of the Quran. Has the Quran been created, or has the Quran always been there? Ghuluv. That the status of the Ahlul Bayt is that, astaghfirullah, Imam Hadi is God. Right? If that kind of belief had gone in the hearts of the Shia, what would that have done to the Shia? So many issues where the Imam would go over and clarify that and keep us moving in the right way, keep Islam from being lost. That's on one side. On the other side, the Imam trained the Shia to be good soldiers. He's getting them ready for the time when his grandson will be the imam. So when you see that the imam has been taken from Medina to Samarra, he's under constant surveillance. How do you even communicate with the imam? The imam was, even when he was in Samarra, at one time he was incarcerated in Samarra. That's also, so not only is not enough to have him surrounded by spies, under your watchful eye, but also incarcerate him also. Anyhow, what did our imam do? You see, we at the Shia, we were divided, I'm talking about the Islamic world at that time, into four large groups. And he would have a deputy. And those deputies would have deputies. And we would be assigned, if you were in that area, to only refer to that deputy. If you had khums to give, you couldn't go to another, right? But if you look at the letters of the imam, you'll see this concept of the good soldier. When he's explaining, this guy has been replaced. He's now in charge. You follow him. Don't disobey him. If you disobey him, you're disobeying me. And being a deputy, what did that mean? We're talking about wukala who were martyred, who were tortured, who were captured, who were exiled. Right? But he's leading this resistance community, communicating with them, talking to them, giving them directions. The Shia were under such stifling circumstances. We had circumstances where there were family of the Prophet, women from the family of Prophet, who literally in a family wouldn't have one pair of clothes to pray in. They would change, resisting. At the time of prayer, we have one pair of clothing that covers us for prayer. We'll put that between different individuals. The Shia under so much pressure, what did they do if they found out you were Shia in the government? What would they do if you found out you were a member of the Ahlul Bayt, you were on the side of Imam Hadi? How would he get the monies, the khums, the zakat, this is the lifeline of the Shia. And he's directing it with the utmost secrecy. Removing people, putting people, getting his message out there, directing the Shia. So our imam is doing that on the social political side. There's so much more to say. We have 4 minutes. If you don't mind, we'll kind of cut it short. We'll go to something else. If, brothers and sisters, if we knew the greatness of the imam and the goodness of God, we too would learn to be those resilient, resistant Shia. Let me give you a couple of hadith. Allah expects that a follower of the Ahlul Bayt is someone who doesn't get broken easily. The believer, the mu'min or mu'mina, resist under incredible circumstances, even under circumstances like that of Imam Hadi, where he couldn't even talk to the Imam. So let's look at some of these ahadith. The Prophet says, Al-mu'minul qawi, the strong mu'min, khayrun min al-dha'if, is better than the weak mu'min. God expects the believer to be strong, to be able to resist. Another one, again from the Prophet, Mathalul mu'minil qawi, the simile of the strong mu'min, kanakhla. It's like a date palm. Palm trees, brothers and sisters, the remainder of the hadith talks about how the weak mu'min is that person who, one is like the palm tree, the other is like the stalk on which, for instance, wheat, right? That's the stalk of the crop. Under hurricane force winds, a palm tree will bend, but it won't break. It'll come back up. Whereas the crops will get mowed down, right? Resilience, resistance, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter how many tawarit, no matter how much prison, no matter how much loss of companions. But again, if we know the spiritual status of this imam, let's go to this imam for help and assistance. That's another beautiful way of benefiting from this imam. Once, there was a Shia whose name was Yunus. Yunus was a calligrapher. So Yunus would write calligraphy. And Yunus worked for the imam. He served the imam. But he also had an outside job. He had a professional life. And one time he comes running to the imam and he tells the imam, he says, I'm begging you, I do want you to do a wasiyah. Take care of my family after me. Be kind to my family. Imam said, what's wrong? What's the problem? What's the issue? He said this. He said that I had a very expensive stone from one of the tawaghit. My job was to do calligraphy, the stone itself, how expensive. He said, and unfortunately, the stone fell and it broke in half. He said, they're coming tomorrow. He said, when they come to my house and I don't have that stone, he said, I will at least suffer 1,000 lashes. My life is over. But the Ahlul Bayt have taught us a principle. They say, Nahnu kahfun liman iltaja ilayna. We are a shelter for those who come and seek refuge with us. We are a source of protection. He comes to the imam, and he tells the imam the situation. The imam said, don't worry about it. Relax. It's going to be okay. But the imam said it was going to be all right. I came to the imam. I did my tawassul. I did my responsibility. God is good. He says what happened was that they came over to the house. And so you can imagine this man, how terrified he is when they show up to the house. And they say that this government official, he has a different request for you. He said, what's the request? He said that actually that Tawhut had some slave women, and they started fighting one another. They're jealous. And they used to put pressure on him that they wanted that stone to be split in half. So this guy said, Alhamdulillah, I like that. The imam said, what did you say to them when they said? He said, well, give me some time to think about it. I'll think about it and I'll get back to you. The imam said, that's a good answer. Referring to the imam means help, means assistance. The imam was a good imam. Inshallah, we ask that Allah accept what was said and heard in his way and make us true followers of Imam Hadi. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Hassan Sheikhna, thank you. Another loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Inshallah, just a reminder that next Friday we will have our Friday program. And like I said earlier, for those who weren't here, this upcoming Wednesday and the following Wednesday, inshallah, we will be having a program with Sayyid Ali Jafari talking about the spiritual season, inshallah, how to benefit from these holy months. Lastly, I wanted to just thank you all for your patience with us. There is some remodeling and there's a little mess around the building. We wanted to thank you all for your support and contributions and helping us. And alhamdulillah, the bathrooms are almost done and they're coming along, and this is with all your support and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings. So with that, inshallah, we hope to see you, inshallah, this upcoming Wednesday. A flyer will be coming out, and inshallah, Friday for our Friday program. Thank you so much. Salla ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا وقعت الواقعة ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء منبثا وكنتم أزواجا ثلاثة فأصحاب الميمنة ما أصحاب الميمنة وأصحاب المشأمة ما أصحاب المشأمة والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون في جنات النعيم ثلة